All right, so tonight we are in chapter 3, and the title is I See Four Men Loose Walking in the Midst of the Fire, and we're going to go through all the verses. I won't actually read the verses. I'm just going to go right into the, just to save a bit of time, but I will read them as we come into them, so you'll still read them in that sense. But they're there. So if we follow the flow of the first three chapters of the book of Daniel, a pattern emerges, which reveals the problem, the cause, and now in chapter 3, the solution in regard to how we are to overcome in this life as the body of Christ. Chapter 1 introduced how the undefiled word of God is likened unto the food that Daniel and his companions will eat while in captivity, as opposed to the king's meat, which typifies the churches of Babylon, who have had the whole stay of bread and water taken away by the Lord, which is the problem, of course. Chapter 2 explains how all the empires of the world have been blinded by the power of Satan that is manifested throughout the ages and represented by the dream of a multi-part statue that Nebuchadnezzar dreamed of. And the dream is further interpreted in the 7th chapter of Daniel and Revelation 13. Verses 1 to 3, where various creatures are connected to the different sections of the statue. This statue represents the cause, so the problem and the cause, of all of humanity's sinful behavior throughout the ages, and the source of that cause is Satan, who is typified by the head of the statue, which head is Nebuchadnezzar, a king of kings who ruled over Babylon as Satan has ruled over the kingdoms of this world. This all being accomplished according to the counsel of God's will. To further make this connection evident for us, we have the composite beast spoken of in Revelation 13, verses 1 and 2, that shows how all these beasts in Daniel, chapter 2 and 7, are one and the same beast spoken of in Revelation 13, verse 2, which beast is identified in the 18th verse, revealing that this beast is all mankind, and his destruction is prophesied and likened unto the man of perdition spoken of in 2 Thessalonians 2, verses 1 to 8. And there's a verse we're all familiar with, in whom the God of this world, 2 Corinthians 4:4, has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. In Revelation 13, 1 and 2, I stood upon the sand of the sea, and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his head the name, his heads, the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was likened unto, and here are those parts of the statue, a leopard, and his feet as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon, Satan, the god of this world, represented by the dragon, gave him his power and his seat and great authority. The third chapter points to the solution. Through the miraculous destruction of the statue and all the beasts connected within us, a process of judgment typified by three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and Christ, the angel who is in the midst of the fire with them, making all this possible. These four men represent the whole of the elect who will be used to save all of humanity. We learn in this chapter very graphically that we are delivered from the bondage of sinful flesh by going into the fiery furnace, which is the same as going through the Red Sea and being put in the lion's den, is where we learn how God can stay the mouth of the lions that represent the devil who wants to sift like wheat the people of God. These three events typify for us how the man of perdition is destroyed by the brightness of his coming. So it's all through those heavy trials, which man of perdition is symbolized by this great statue in Nebuchadnezzar's dream. And here we come to the first verse. Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold, whose height was 60 cubits and the breadth thereof 6 cubits. He set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. So Nebuchadnezzar was being shown by the interpretation of the dream by Daniel that he is the beast, and instead of repenting in sackcloth and ashes, He rather takes the interpretation of the dream to mean that he ought to build a statue in its likeness and have the people come and bow down and worship this idol. These actions point to these verses in Revelation 13, verses 9 to 15, that parallel with what Nebuchadnezzar is doing. If any man have an ear, let him hear. And of course, Nebuchadnezzar did not have an ear, not even a typical ear, if you would. He that leads into captivity shall go into captivity. He that kills with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and faith of the saints. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. And he exercises all the power of the first beast before him, and causes the earth and them that dwell therein to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. And he does great wonders, so that he makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceives them that dwell on the earth by means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth. Now here's the part that connects so brilliantly with that statue, that they should make an image to the beast, which had the wound by a sword and did live. So he's already seen this grand miracle of them coming out of the fire, and there's no conversion, obviously, but there's a very deep lesson there, because the elect will be in the midst of the world, and they'll make an image to the beast again at the end of the 1,000 years when Satan's loose for a season, because they can't help but do that because there's no conversion. And this is what we're learning about Nebuchadnezzar. He typifies an unconverted soul. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, which he did. That image, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. The image is a man, but the image typifies man. It typifies the relationship of mankind coming to believe that, always believing that we have free moral agency and not knowing that God is sovereign over all the affairs of men. And this is, of course, what he's teaching us through these stories. Nebuchadnezzar's newly made statue is 60 cubits and the breadth thereof 6 cubits, telling us that it represents mankind with those sixes in the measurements. It is built in the plain of Dura, that is in the province of Babylon, as it represents the time when we are a defiled temple of God, whose Adamic height is connected to the beast, 666, as well as the breadth of the 6 cubits. The word Dura means circle of dwelling, or dwelling. And a circle has 360 degrees in it, which is a multiple of 6, 6 times 6 times 10, that points to our Adamic dwelling place that is carnal, and not able to inherit the kingdom of God. It is not just the head that is gold now, but the entire image is made of gold. So he went from the head to in the dream, and now it's all gold, which confirms that Nebuchadnezzar, who was the head of gold in the dream, has affected every other lesser empire, the rest of the statue, with his proud and vain spirit, explained in these terms in Revelation 3, verses 17 and 18. His golden image is cankered, though, as he has not been tried in the fire, and as such remains spiritually blind to the spiritual captivity that he is in, as is all the world, the entire statue. And this is connects to this verse, of course, Revelation 3. Because you say, I am rich and increase with goods and have need of nothing, and know not that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. That's how God sees the condition of all of mankind, no matter what we're doing in our flesh, no matter what gifts we have. If we're operating on the premise that we have free moral agency, then we are, in fact, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that you may be rich, and white raiment, that you may be clothed, and that the shame of your nakedness do not appear, and anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. Verses 2 and 3. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king sent to gather together the princes, the governors, captains, judges, treasurers, counselors, sheriffs, all the rulers of the province, to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Then the princes, the governors, captains, judges, treasurers, counselors, sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces were gathered together unto the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. And they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. This section of scripture points to Revelation 13:15. We just look at that. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. So there's idolatry, and it's moving people into this place being subject to this these powers and principalities that are represented by the statue that Nebuchadnezzar had built of gold that he was demanding the people to worship, or they would be killed, represents how the God of this world will demand our unwavering acceptance and worship of his idolatrous ways that permeate society today. And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lies in wickedness. How Satan accomplishes this deception is through the multitude of leaders who provide a perverted version of that safety that can only come through God's counsel found in the body of Christ. So it's like a company of fools are soon parted, and that's exactly what this represents. It's just, it's foolishness, but that's what we are while we're in the flesh, and we try to work in through this life and please God, and we can't without Christ in us. The world's counselors are typified by those who Nebuchadnezzar gathered together, the princes, the governors, captains, judges, treasurers, counselors, sheriffs, rulers of the province to come to the dedication of the image, provinces, to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. The reason they have been gathered together is to stand in a united way to acknowledge the beast, mankind's power in themselves, independent of God, that is represented by Nebuchadnezzar's statue. And they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. This gathering to do what Nebuchadnezzar requires of the people puts them in the category of Revelation 13, verse 8, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Verses 4 to 6, then a herald cried aloud, to you it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages, that at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, you fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king hath set up. And whoso falls not down and worships shall the same hour be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. There we have it. Comply or die. That's the command that is set forth. The herald crying aloud is like the negative blowing of the last trump that will summon the first resurrection. This heralding we're reading of is a cry unto captivity, unbeknownst to them, but in the devilish world of the sensual, being associated with the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, and compelling the masses to fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar, the king, has set up, or else you will be cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. The music represents the unified, strong delusion of Babylon, whose mantra says, in essentials, unity, in non-essentials, liberty, and all things, charity. Taking away the singleness and undivided mind of Christ, and leaving the power in the hand of the beast to determine what is essential and not essential. All of this signifying how man, the man of sin, operates on the throne of our hearts, demanding our acknowledgement of his power and rule, and wanting us to do nothing less than worship him, making Satan the sovereign figure in our life rather than God and Christ. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. But I fear lest by any means, 2 Corinthians 11, 3-5, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. That word is singleness. For if he that cometh preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit, which you have not received, or another gospel, which you have not accepted, ye might well bear with him, for I suppose I was not a whit behind the very chiefest apostles. And then verse 7 and 8, therefore at that time, when all the people heard the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and all kinds of music, all the people, the nations, and the languages fell down and worshipped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Wherefore at that time certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews. These verses again demonstrate the unity that is found in the world in regard to worshiping the beast and claiming our own righteousness and free moral agency in this life. It is all the people, the nations, and the languages who come and fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king has set up. What unites all the world is the belief that they have free moral agency, the golden image. And unless our names are written in the Lamb's book, that is what the carnal mind will just naturally believe, all the while thinking the things of the Spirit as being foolishness, for they are spiritually discerned. We will be hated by all men for his name's sake. And it is the certain Chaldeans who came near at this time of worshiping the beast who accused the Jews being a type of the elect who are hated and persecuted for obeying the commandments of God, that we've been granted the patience and faith of Christ to hold fast to as a crown of life. It is certain Chaldeans who came near to King Nebuchadnezzar to be accusers of the brethren, the certain implying that not all have this role in life, but God has already ordained the ones who would betray Christ and his Christ. And it is they of our own household that certain Chaldeans signifies, just as it was the religious of Christ's day, the Sadducees and Pharisees. And Mike wrote a really good article. This is one of the essential reading ones, enemies of his own household, or down very close to that section. Revelation 13, verses 4 to 7. And they worshiped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast, all the people, the nations, and the languages. And they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? And there was given unto him a mouth, speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months, 3.5 years. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations, all the people, the nations, and the languages. This demonstrates that we all go into captivity, and it is the very few who are called out of Babylon by God's great power. Fear none, Revelation 2, verse 10, fear none of those things which you shall suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that you may be tried, and you shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life. And of course, that prison it's a metaphor. Maybe some of us will end up in prison. That might be our prison, but the prison can be anything, whatever circumstances that God allows the devil to manifest in our lives. Revelation 3, verse 11, behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which you have, that no man take your crown. So we hold fast to Christ, and Christ, we are more than conquerors through him. Whatever circumstances that God gives us, he promises to give us the strength and power to get through them. But we are called to work at our own salvation with fear and trembling, knowing that it's Christ, of course, doing that work in us. What do we have? But he that is spiritual judges all things, 1 Corinthians 2, verses 15 and 16. Yet he himself is judged of no man, so there's that no man. For who has known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Blessed is that man that endures temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to them that love him, James 1, verse 12, and 1 John 5, verse 2. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. In verses 9 to 14, they spake and said to the king Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. Thou, O king, have made a decree that every man that shall hear the sound of the cornet, flute, sackbut, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music shall fall down and worship the golden image. And whoso falleth not down and worships, that he should be cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. There are certain Jews who have set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded you. They serve not the gods, nor worship the golden image. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which you have set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do not you serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? This section of scripture reminds us that the world is looking at what the body of Christ is doing and are bringing their report unto the powers that be to let them know that they serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which you have set up. Satan knows he has a short time, and the fidelity of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego is making Nebuchadnezzar furious in this story, as does the faithfulness of the saints in this life cause Satan's wrath to manifest. Therefore rejoice, you heavens, and you that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil has come down unto you having great wrath, because he knows that he has but a short time. Revelation 12, verse 12. Our life is a vapor that appears for a little while. And so in that sense, Satan knows he has but a short time to try and deceive the very elect, if it were possible, in every age since Pentecost. And I mean, even in the typical sense, God has allowed that just to demonstrate for our sakes the persecution that will come upon the body of Christ. But always remember the deliverance, because Christ says he'll be with us in the fire. Of course, it's not possible. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego being brought before the furious king was all purposed by God to give a witness to Nebuchadnezzar and all others of the greatness of the God of heaven and earth that they serve. Matthew 24, verse 24, there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. And Mark 13, verse 9, but take heed to yourselves, for they shall deliver you up to councils, and in the synagogues you shall be beaten, and you shall be brought before rulers and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them. And if you remember when Paul was above them, they were beaten, and they thank God that they were worthy to suffer. And that's just how great God is, how great his power is. No matter what he brings upon us, he won't try any one of us beyond what we can endure. And everything is for a purpose. There's a reason why whatever we go through, we go through. It's all written in our books. But in the midst of that, we learn of God's mercy and great power every time. Verses 15 to 18. Now, if you be ready, that at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, you fall down and worship the image which I have made. Well, but if you worship not, you shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning, fiery furnace. And who is it that God shall deliver you out of my hands? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer you in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning, fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve your gods, nor worship the golden image which you have set up. God has set the stage for the words that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are about to give to the king. And the first thing they tell him is, there is no need for us to give you an answer to this question, meaning we already have our minds made up in regard to what we're going to do. And so we'll ask you what God has given us the power to proclaim. And what he proclaims is that we are more than conquerors through Christ, and that whether we are delivered or destroyed by this fire, we will live unto the Lord and be delivered regardless. Their answer typifies the faithful witnesses that we've been called to be through Christ. And whether we live or die, we are the Lord's, and he will deliver us, and not a hair on our head will be hurt. This all implying that our spiritual status in the Lord, our crown, is not going to be taken from us if we believe and know that we are more than conquerors through him in every dire circumstance via the faith of Christ that we've been given. So all because of what the Lord can do through us, and he's our confidence, their confidence is in the Lord. Luke 21, verse 18, but not a hair of your head will come to destruction. Mark 13, verse 11, and when you are taken and given up to be judged, do not be troubled about what to say, but whatever is given to you in that hour, say, because it is not you who say it, but the Holy Spirit. Romans 14, 8, as long as we have life, we are living to the Lord, or if we give up our life, it is to the Lord. So if we are living, or if our life comes to an end, we are the Lord's. Romans 8, verse 37, but we are able to overcome all things and more through his love. Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And if you think about when they were put in the fire, how, if that represents our works, they were bound. How can you do works? And that's what that's telling us. I didn't put that in the study, but I'm saying it now because it just comes to mind. You know, you can't do works when you're bound, and that's right. But we are doing works when our old man is bound and we're in the fire, we're going through trials. Christ is being formed within us through those circumstances. Verse 19, then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore, he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace one seven times more than it was wont to be heated. As we submit to Christ and resist the devil, he will flee from us. And regardless of what men can do to our flesh, we are being told with this story to not fear men, but fear God, who is all-powerful and able to take us through the fiery trials of this life. That will perfect his workmanship in us. The furnace being seven times more than it was wont to be heated, typifies for us the seven plagues that must be poured out upon God's elect. Those plagues represent the cup that we drink in this life, that Christ makes a way for us to partake of by the power of God, who calls us to be more than conquerors through him. Christ's own words here, Luke 12, verse 5, but I will forewarn you whom you shall fear. Fear him, which after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. Fear him now. If we don't fear him now, we'll be fearing him in the lake of fire, that's for sure. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13. There is no temptation taking you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you. These are part of the exceedingly great and precious promises. He who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. As we said earlier, that's going through the Red Sea. That's the lion's den and the fiery furnace. Revelation 15, verse 8, and the temple was filled with smoke from the glory of God and from his power, and no man was able to enter into the temple till the seven plagues of the seven angels were fulfilled. Matthew 20, verse 23, and he saith unto him, you shall drink indeed of my cup, and be baptized with the baptisms that I am baptized with. But to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared of my Father. Romans 8, verse 37. Nay, in all these things We are more than conquerors through him that loved us. And we know that what precedes those verses, all the trials, and then the faith, what we call the faith chapter, all the things that demonstrate that we're more than conquerors through Christ, all the things that people have gone through, those who have gone before us. Daniel 3, verses 20 to 23, and he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their hosen, and their hats, and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent, and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down, bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. So they tossed them in there. These were mighty men, and these guys were bound. They just threw them in, binding Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego with the most mighty men that were in his army and casting them into the fiery furnace. Represents how we are bound by our sins. They were in their coats and their hosen and their hats and their garments, symbolizing their own righteousness that cleaves to us in this flesh and must be thrown into the fiery furnace where Christ is in the midst to loose us from it. If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. And that's what he's freeing us from our own self-righteous minds. The king's commandment was urgent and the furnace exceeding hot, so that these mighty men that were putting them in the fire were killed themselves. These men represent the wood, hay, and stubble of 1 Corinthians 3:12, the carnal and natural things that are the first to be burned out of us. That which is natural is first, and afterwards that which is spiritual. The process in the kiln, in this furnace that they're in, is burning up the finer things that take a process as well. 1 Corinthians 3, verses 12 to 15. Now, if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. So those men putting them in were being tried, their works. The men in the fire were being tried. They represent the elect. So it goes on to say, if any man's work abide, which they did, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward in the first resurrection. If any man's work shall be burnt, he shall suffer loss, as those men did. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire, in the second resurrection, the lake of fire. Verses 24 and 25. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished, and rose up in haste, and spake and said unto his counselors, did not we cast three men bound in the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, true, O king. He answered and said, lo, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Here we see God define the laws of physics, which tells us that nothing is impossible for our Father. And when he says he won't try us beyond what we can endure, he means it. When we need the faith to go through these trials, he will give us the strength and the power to bear under them. And as it says, make a way to escape that we may be able to bear it. And will always make a way for us to bear the trials he gives us. Even if they destroy our flesh or the proud image of the beast that we all start off as, the natural man, Nebuchadnezzar, the king, was astonished and asked his counselors, did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? Of which they responded, true, okay. Nebuchadnezzar then says, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God, which is really an incredibly encouraging statement for us to contemplate. First of all, there are four men loosed, which symbolizes that the whole world will be loosed from sinful flesh or set free from sin by the fourth man who is in the midst of the fire, Jesus Christ. But it also tells us that the elect, who are represented by the other three men, will be saviors who come up on Mount Zion to judge the Mount of Esau, setting the world free from sin with Christ as the Lord's scapegoat. Three men in the fire also represents the process of judgment that we must go through in this life as God's elect, if we are going to be purified by God's word that is like an unto fire. Jeremiah 23, verse 29, is not my word like as fire? And the word, of course, in John 1, 1, in the beginning was the word, Christ, and the word was with God, and the word was God. Is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces. Verses 26 to 28. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth of the midst of the fire. And the princes, governors, and captains, and the king's counselors being gathered together, saw these men upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was a hair of their head singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on them. Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him, and have changed the king's word and yielded their bodies that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own god. Nebuchadnezzar came near the mouth of the burning fiery furnace, but he did not get in it, symbolizing that he has not changed, but is being witnessed to, as the world will be, by those who have gone through the fiery words of God's judgment in this life that will prepare the bride for the rulership that is set before the church. Again, Nebuchadnezzar asked them to come forth. However, he does not go toward them, because no man can go unto the Son unless the Father drags him. This also shows us how the Lord will use wicked men to accomplish his purpose in the elect of being dragged into fiery trials. Psalm 17, verse 13, Arise, O Lord, disappoint him, cast him down, deliver my soul from the wicked, thy sword. Luke 21, verse 12, But before all these, they shall lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and into prisons, being brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake. That's a fiery furnace. Revelation 2:10. Fear none of those things which you shall suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that you may be tried. And you shall have tribulation 10 days, which of course is the flesh, to put the flesh off. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life. So they came forth and witnessed to all what had occurred to the princes and the governors and the captains, and the king's counselors being gathered together saw these men upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was a hair of their head singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire passed on them. This all representing the witness that the elect will be to the world, showing them what God can do through the weak of the world, the not many noble or mighty of this world who are judged first, and whose garments are not spoken of in this way, and whose garments are spoken of in this way at this stage, upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was a hair of their head singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on them. Which brings to mind these verses, if we correlate this. Isaiah 33, verses 14, 15, the sinners in Zion are afraid. Fearfulness has surprised the hypocrites. They were amazed at what they were looking at. Who wouldn't be? Who among us shall dwell with the devouring fires? Who among us shall dwell with everlasting burnings? He that walks righteously and speaks uprightly, he that despises the gain of oppressions, that shakes his hands from holding of bribes, that stops his ears from hearing of blood, and shuts his eyes from seeing evil. And that, of course, is what's being burnt out of us as we're being judged by the Lord. Malachi 3:2, But who may abide the day of his coming? And who shall stand when he appeareth? for he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. And there's, you know, I want to interject there that only Christ can be Christ. So the only one who's going to be standing is Christ, Christ in us, our hope of glory. And if he's not there, then of course that refining process will be finished later on, as we just read, in the lake of fire. Revelation 16, verse 15, behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watches and keeps his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. Luke 21, verse 18, but there shall not a hair of your head perish. Nebuchadnezzar then spake and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him, and have changed the king's word and yielded their bodies, that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. The angel who is sent is Christ, who is our Savior, and God's elect are sent for the same purpose of being saviors, who are prepared to be those saviors through a process of suffering with Christ, enduring fiery trials, symbolized by this event with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. The elect are called out of Babylon to yield their lives unto Christ long before they give the ultimate sacrifice, as was demonstrated here in the story. This tells us that he who is faithful in little is faithful in lots. And that's a really, obviously, very important point. They had lived a life of fidelity. They were not eating the king's meat. They were praying three times a day. They had a relationship, a working relationship. They had grown to trust in God. So it wasn't like there was no, they were ready to give the answer. They were ready and to stand. They had done all, in other words. I'm sure we see that point. The servants trusted in God, and that trust is forged through the many fiery circumstances that the Lord causes. The world will change its evil ways as a result of the miraculous new creation they will see when the first resurrection occurs, which is what this symbolizes, and have changed the king's word. But this change of attitude is not a permanent conversion of the mind, not by a long stretch. And especially when we get into the next chapter, chapter 4, we'll see. 2 Timothy 2, verses 11 and 12. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. And if that's written in our books, that's what we'll do. Because if we go on, it says, Christ will not deny himself. So those who are his, he's promised, I'm going to finish this work in you, and I won't deny myself. But he knows what we would do in our flesh. We would deny him, just like Peter denied him three times. He prophesied that he would, and that is us. Luke 16, verse 10. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. 2 Corinthians 1, verse 9. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which raises the dead. And that's just, there's a reason why we have much tribulation, many trials, because God is always loving us and carrying us in and dragging us forward and receiving us through those trials, so that we're not trusting in our flesh, and we're being found with the righteousness of Christ in us. Nebuchadnezzar does not typify someone who is converted at this point, but rather someone who had to see a sign, which is for the unbelieving. After which he says, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angels and delivered his servants that trusted in him, and have changed the king's word and yielded their bodies, that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 22, wherefore tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. But prophesying serves not for them that believe not, but for them which believe. John 20, verses 29, Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. In type and shadow faith that is not unto salvation in their case, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego believe the Lord can deliver them through life or death without having to see him before they claim this news to Nebuchadnezzar. Romans 14, verse 8, for whether we live unto the Lord, and whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. In the last two verses, 29 and 30, therefore I make a decree that every people, nation, and language which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God they can deliver after this sort. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. Nebuchadnezzar's enthusiasm is not to be mistaken as conversion, and it is more akin with an anon with joy spirit, receiving of those things that the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, not his God, but rather their God, has performed. Nebuchadnezzar makes this decree symbolic of the wrath of God that will abide on all mankind until it does not. Words typifying what will happen to the first man, Adam, and all mankind. Therefore, I will make a decree that every man, nation, language, which speaks anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill. In the negative shadow, Nebuchadnezzar is still in charge and calling the shots, independent of truly understanding the sovereignty of God. Christ and his Christ, typified by Daniel, who is a type of Christ, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, understand today that God is sovereign. However, Nebuchadnezzar at best can only make a decree that every people, nation, and language which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there's no other God that can deliver after this sort. Again, he points to the outward miracle, but does not have a change of heart in regard to his own personal relationship with God. He believes in God, in other words, like the Christians today and the Jews in Christ's day, who Christ said believed on him, but needed to continue in the truth to become disciples indeed, who were crushed under the stone as a result of being blessed to continue in the truth. Matthew 21, verse 44, and whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken, but on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind into powder. Nebuchadnezzar then promotes Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon, typifying for us when the kingdoms of this world, Babylon, become the kingdoms of the Lord and his Christ. This represents what will happen during the thousand-year reign of the saints, and like Israel of old, the Israel of God will spoil the Egyptians, as Nebuchadnezzar is doing by promoting Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. That's a big promotion. Next week, Lord willing, we'll get into chapter 4 of Daniel, where one of the main lessons being shown is how pride comes before a fall. Daniel, and this is two verses from that, the king, verses 30 and 31, the king spake and said, is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty? While the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee. And Proverbs 16, verses 18 and 19, pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Better is it to be of a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. Better to be in the house of mourning, in other words, than to be in the house of mirth and celebrating the flesh. We're celebrating putting off the flesh, the dying daily process that we're so blessed to be partakers of. And that's our study. Thank you all for coming out.